Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. It is Thursday, December 5th, 2019, and I am your host, L. Martin. Here for another hour of current sports. It's your favorite hour of the day, I know. And I know a few of you were like, Al, what's going on, man? You're not on the air. It's Tuesday. Well, no, yesterday was Wednesday. It's Wednesday. and we were waiting to talk about what happened to the Michigan State men's basketball team on Wednesday night, and you weren't on the air. Well, Tuesday night, and you weren't on the air on Wednesday. And I'm like, yeah, I know. The Trump, President Donald Trump impeachment hearings have been bubbling us off the air these last few weeks. So they resumed yesterday, so we weren't live on the air here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. But we are here today, and I've got a lot to get off my chest when it concerns that game. Michigan State men's basketball is facing some tough questions right now, and I think they're really legit questions, you know? I think I'm not trying to panic here. Look, I'm not going to be that guy, and I've heard a few of you, you know, those who have tweeted at me, and I've read a few of your takes on Twitter and on Facebook. I've seen many of you kind of panicking, saying that, oh my goodness, this team is overrated. This team should not have been the preseason number one basketball team in the nation. And I'm like, whoa, 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 pump the brakes, man. I mean, this is a Tom Izzo coach team, right? They always struggle at the beginning of the year. They always have question marks during this time of the year. You know, Izzo loves to play these big dogs to start so that he can figure out, okay, what are the holes in the boat? And then I'll plug those and we'll get better as the year goes along. So I'm not hitting the panic button here, but I will say this. There are maybe a few more question marks than we initially predicted for this year's team around this time of the year, based on what I saw against Duke on Tuesday night. So we'll comb through those. All right? So don't worry. You get my take on Michigan State, Duke. I want to hear from you guys as well. If you want to challenge me on anything I say today, or just want to vent and give your thoughts on how MSU men's basketball is going to try and put the wheels back on the track as they start Big Ten play this Sunday evening. Also, I want to talk some Detroit Lions football. I won't be long with this, but Matthew Stafford has come out and said that he would like to play more NFL football for years to come. That's despite now being ruled out for back-to-back seasons. Well, he wasn't ruled out last year. We found out after the regular season last year that Matthew Stafford actually played with fractures in his back. Ow, right? Fractures in your back? Come on, man. That's pretty serious stuff. And he went out the beginning of November due to that very same thing. So basically back-to-back seasons in which you have fractures in your back, that's pretty serious. You play in the NFL. You play the game of football. This is not two-hand touch, and you still want to continue to play even though you had these now two problems. Same problem back-to-back years. I want to weigh in on that as well. Also, the college football playoff. I want to touch on that. The new rankings were revealed on Tuesday evening, so I didn't get a chance to weigh in on that either. And you'll get my thoughts on championship weekend in the world of college football as conference championship games will take place. Who will be in that final number of four? And do I agree with what the committee has done so far with their rankings? And we'll have Throwback Thursday for you, where we take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. A busy, busy show. Our plate runneth over on this December 5th, 2019. We've got Alec Rio, my man, 50 grand behind the glass. He is your engineer of current sports every Thursday and Friday. So let's push along, Alec. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Start here with the Michigan State women's basketball team, as the number 19th ranked MSU women's basketball squad is off to a great start. Right now, 6-1 on the season. However, that only loss comes against their only ranked opponent so far this season, losing to number 25 LSU 58-56 on November 29th. Tonight is their second matchup against a ranked opponent, and they will definitely have their work cut out for them as they travel to Seminole Country, and they take on number 8 Florida State. The Seminoles, this is the third meeting between these two in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and hold a 6-6 record in the challenge. The Spartans have been in double digits in steals in all seven games this season and are now fifth in the nation in steals per game. Nia Cloudin and Taryn McCutcheon are fifth and sixth, respectively. Cloudin averaging 2.7 steals per game, McCutcheon 2.3 in the Big Ten with a season-high 7 assists against Kansas State. Taryn McCutcheon moved into second place all-time in career assists at Michigan State. She now has 294 career assists and stands 80 behind current assistant coach Kristen Haney, who had 574 during her career from 01 to 05. So, Michigan State women's basketball in action tonight on the road at Florida State. Tip time for that game is at 8 p.m. All right, so we'll see if the women's basketball team can get a big win against a conference opponent. A ranked opponent, not a conference opponent, a ranked opponent there. All right, redshirt freshman running back for the MSU football team, Elijah Collins, and junior wide receiver Cody White earned all Big Ten recognition as the conference announced the all-league teams and award winners on offense yesterday. Now,
you
Collins,
like
yeah.
You like that?
I guess. I'm not. Alec, I don't even know if that's worthy of a Kirk Cousins, you like that. I mean, it's like, cool.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know what I mean? Like, all right, cool. Yeah, Collins and White, they weren't even first team. Kenny Willekes was the lone Michigan State football player on the first team. But still, all right, I'm not trying to rain on the parade of Collins and White. White and Collins. Collins was named to the third team by the media and honorable mention by the coaches. White picked up honorable mention by both coaches and media. Collins, he averaged a team best 74.3 yards rushing per game, which ranks fifth in the Big Ten. And in his first career start at tailback on September 7th against Western Michigan, he recorded 192 rushing yards on 17 carries. That was the second most by a Spartan freshman in a single game. Javon Ringer had 194 at Illinois back in 05. Collins had a solid year, and with senior Daryl Stewart missing the last four games due to injury, White really became the premier wide receiver for Michigan State football. He had a big second half of the season to emerge as the team's leading receiver. He had 28 catches for 426 yards in the last month of the regular season to finish with a career high and team best 58 catches for 825 yards and 5 TDs. Michigan State had a total of 11 Spartans earn All-Big Ten recognition as the All-League Defensive and Special Teams were announced on Tuesday. And again, as I mentioned, Kenny Willekes was the lone Michigan State football player to earn All-Big Ten first team. All right, shout out to Jim Ahern. Jim Ahern, head coach of the Lansing Catholic High School football team. He has been selected as the 2019 Detroit Lions Farm Bureau Insurance Michigan High School Football Coach of the Year. Ahern led his Cougars to a 31-17 comeback dub over Almont on November 30th to win the D5 Michigan High School Football State Championship. This is Lansing Catholic's first Michigan Football State Championship since 1985. That's like the year right after Michael Jordan entered the league. I think Thriller was out with Michael Jackson. That's a long, long time ago. And this is Ahern's first as a head coach. Long time coming for Jim Ahern. The Cougars from the Capital Area Activities Conference, the CAAC, finished with a 13-1 record, outscoring their opponents by a whopping 549-189. Awesome stuff there. All right. My Detroit Pistons, they got mollywopped last night. Yeah, and the losing streak against Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks extended to 6 as they got curb stomped 127-103 last night. Despite a slow offensive start in the first quarter, the Bucks exploded for a 37-point second quarter and didn't go under 33 per quarter for the rest of the game. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he dropped 35, 9 rebounds, and Andre Drummond, he had 23 points, 14 boards, 5 assists. Langston Galloway, he chipped in 20 points in the losing effort for the Pistons. Also, towards the beginning of the third quarter, Blake Griffin, he stirred the pot by stepping over Giannis Antetokounmpo. They got, there was a moment where Giannis had the ball, Blake Griffin was guarding him, and, you know, some shoving went down, Giannis falls to the ground, and Blake kind of shoves him again and kind of steps over him. I believe also Bruce Brown, he was also in that mix as well. Don't want to, you know, not mention his name in that as well. So, Chris Middleton and the rest of the players, they got on the court and kind of got in the face of Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks. But it, who knows? At the end of the day, the only thing that matters is the final score, and the Pistons got blown out. So, 127-103, your final there. And did you hear about this story? A San Francisco 49ers color analyst, Tim Ryan, has been suspended for these thoughts on the air.
His dark skin color with a dark football with a dark uniform, you could not see that thing. I mean, you literally could not see when he was in and out of the mesh point.
What? That's when we need the Russell Westbrook what right there.
What?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Alec. I just couldn't believe that Tim Ryan would say something like that. Again, he was talking about Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson having this MVP caliber season. You guys saw arguably the best NFL game of the year on Sunday afternoon as the 49ers fell to Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. And Tim Ryan made that comment when talking about Lamar Jackson. He believes he was aided due to his dark skin. His skin being the same color as the football. One more time. Just play that. Just that idiotic comment one more time.
His dark skin color with a dark football with a dark uniform. You could not see that thing. I mean, you literally could not see when he was in and out of the mesh point.
So disrespectful for you to say something like that.
No, that's racist. That's what that is, not disrespectful. I feel like I'm living in the 1960s sometimes here in 2019, Alec. All right, Jackson, he's considered by many to be the front runner in the NFL's MVP race this season. I just can't believe the comparison that Tim Ryan had on the air. This is a professional broadcaster making a comment like that. Huh. Okay. All right, I'm done with that story. All right, in week 14, can you believe that? We are in week 14. Of the NFL season. I know where I will be tonight at 8 p.m. You guys know I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. And tonight on Thursday Night Football, my quarterback, Dak Prescott, along with my running back, Ezekiel Elliott, the the Dallas Cowboys. They will take on the Chicago Bears. That will be an 8:20 p.m. kickoff time from Soldier Field out in Chi-Town. Of course, that game can be seen on Fox and the NFL Network. And after the regulars, as the regular season winds down, speculation goes along with every Cowboys game as to the future of head coach Jason Garrett. And just the same for the Bears, too, as former first-round quarterback Mitchell Trubisky. He has struggled this year here and there. But, you know, my Cowboys desperately need this win, especially after torturing me and every other Cowboys fan based on what happened on Thanksgiving Day against the Buffalo Bills.
Speaking of torturous, I mean, can we talk about the whole NFC East? I mean, your Cowboys are the first in the NFC East, but I mean, they only have a 6-6 record. They got the Redskins, Giants, and Eagles.
That's why,
Alan,
that is why I'm so blessed. We are so blessed that we play in the NFC East, because we can have a garbage record like 6-6 and still get into the playoffs as a division winner. I love it. I love playing the NFC East. I have no problem with it. No problem with it at all. Yes, thank you, football gods, for putting us in the NFC East. All right. Also, some sad news here. Central Michigan University has lost the beloved voice of its athletic department yesterday when play-by-play broadcaster Don Chiodo was sadly killed in a car crash. The Central Michigan alum, he spent many years as the school's announcer and was known as the voice of the Chippewas. He died in a two-vehicle crash west of Saginaw. Chiodo, who was just 54 years old, he had spent 10 years with the Chippewa Sports Network as the play-by-play broadcaster for the school's football and men's basketball programs. He also worked as a financial advisor for the past 15 years and served on the Mount Pleasant Board of Education. He graduated from Central Michigan in 1990. Central Michigan Life, the school's student newspaper, reported that Chiodo was traveling east yesterday on M46 when his vehicle crossed the center line, colliding with a truck. Police said the crash remains under investigation, though they do not believe speed or alcohol were factors. The driver of the truck, he was treated and released from the hospital. Again, this is coming from Central Michigan Life. So, again, the news comes as Central Michigan football prepares to face Miami of Ohio in the MAC championship game this Saturday at Ford Field, just one season after finishing 1-11, and it's the Chippewas' first MAC championship appearance since 09. So you better believe, I'm pretty sure that the Chips will do something to honor the life and legacy that is Don Chiodo. But Don Chiodo gone way too soon, 54 years old. Rest in peace, my friend. Okay, the less important matters now as we move along here on WKAR's Current Sports. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number you can call if you would like to be a part of the hour. You can also weigh in thanks to good old social media. We have the Facebook live stream up and running right now. You can comment below that live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can also tweet us.
Oh, I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
Yeah, but a lot of people use it. I know. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
The three off. Tillman the assist. Sing again. Winston. And another block, this time by Jack White.
But Jack White is an excellent shot blocker for a guy 6'7", 6'8".
20 points to go along with 11 assists.
three steals. He's turned it over a few times, but he's really controlled this game. Lift everything up and then open up some space to get to the basket. Nice look over the top. And that'll be the first bucket of the night for Julius Marble. Another assist for Cassius Winston in Maui. But they rely so much on Azubuike and Dotson to score for them. Good nice pass. Look. Tillman finds Henry. Aaron Henry's first points of the night. Quite a statement in your first true road game for a lot of these freshmen. Most points allowed at home in regulation by the Spartans in over 20 years. As Duke beats them 87-75.
Happy Thursday to you all. We are back on the air after a one-day hiatus due to the President Donald Trump impeachment hearings, as we have been bringing you coverage day in and day out right here live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM of those hearings. So they resumed yesterday. That bumped us off the air. But it feels so good to be back behind the mic. Happy Thursday, guys. It is December 5th. We are 20 days away from my favorite day of the calendar. It's the most wonderful time of the year, Christmas Day, right around the corner. Get that shopping done early. I plan on getting it done early, but, you know, those who listen to the show around this time every single year know that I always wait last minute to get my shopping out the way. But happy holidays to you and yours. And it really feels good to be back, because what you just heard were some highlights and a few lowlights, Michigan State fans, based on what happened on Tuesday night at the Breslin Center. This was a tremendously hyped game due to the fact that Duke had not made a visit to the Breslin Center in 16 years. And, you know, prior to the beginning of the regular season, Duke and Michigan State ranked in the top five, right? This was an 11 versus 10 matchup. Nobody really expected that. But still, it's Duke and Michigan State. This is Coach Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K versus Tom Izzo. And even more heightened, based on what happened on March 31st of this year, when Michigan State ended up knocking off Zion Williamson, Cam Reddish, Trey Jones, so on and so forth. I mean, that roster was absolutely stacked. Michigan State knocked off Duke for a chance to go to a Final Four. Another Final Four for Coach K, but Izzo booked a ticket to go to another Final Four appearance on his illustrious college basketball coaching resume earlier this year. It was only win number two for Izzo over Coach K, so he was trying to make it three on Tuesday night, but that didn't happen at all. It was like a slap in the face, back to reality. Duke is still Duke. It was an 87-75 final as Michigan State fell to 5-3, won the year, and Duke improved to 8-1. Still, that Stephen F. Austin loss is still very puzzling, but with the exception of that loss, Duke is at eight wins so far this season. 87-75. And that final, you know, that's a 12-point win for Duke, but I mean, there were points in this game where Duke was leading by like 20 points. And Michigan State looked confused. They looked unenthusiastic. There was no energy. Guys weren't hitting shots. Duke's defensive presence was certainly felt. I mean, you know, it's pretty remarkable when you look at the final box score and you read that Duke in this game had 11 blocks. 11 blocks, 10 steals. That's crazy, right? And if I was to tell you, especially based on how that first half started, if I was to have you guess at halftime how many turnovers Michigan State would have, based on what you just saw in that first half, they did a much better job taking care of the basketball in the second half, but you would have guessed something like 20, 25 turnovers. But they actually ended up finishing with 14 turnovers. Duke had 15, so that's a shocking stat. Michigan State took care of the ball better in the second half, but they still couldn't score. They could not score. And there are some questions to be asked. I believe some legit questions that need to be asked when talking about Michigan State men's basketball moving forward from here. Now, again, as I stated at the top of the hour, I am not going to be that guy to sit here on the air and just panic because it's early. It is so early, folks. It is the first week of December. Tom Izzo teams don't start clicking until like early February. And of course, into March. Into March, that's when Michigan State basketball begins to roll and you see an entirely different team. Like, again, bookmark this week in Michigan State men's basketball. I guarantee this will be a different team once February comes. Tom Izzo is going to figure out some things. But when it comes to the questions that need to be figured out, I've got a few of them. I've got a few. Because when I was on the air on Tuesday afternoon with Deshaun Tate of 92.9 The Game, Deshaun Tate, to show you how big this game was, I mean, Deshaun flew in to cover this game. No, he flew in from Atlanta to cover this game on Tuesday night. You know, Deshaun, the college basketball analyst, reporter, producer, and aficionado that he is. We were on the air on Tuesday, and I said that in order for Michigan State to have a chance in that game, Aaron Henry had to be aggressive early, often, and throughout. That is the direct quote that I had on Tuesday. Early, often, and throughout. And Aaron Henry was nowhere to be found. He played 22 minutes. And he only took two shots the entire game. He is that guy because clearly right now, Rocket Watts, it's not fair for Rocket. He is, I was a bit puzzled. As soon as the news came out that Joshua Langford was not going to be available, at least to start the season, and he was going to be reevaluated with that recurring foot injury in January, I was very puzzled how many people immediately pointed the finger to Rocket Watts as being the guy that needed to step up in just his puppy year. He's a freshman. I'm like, okay, maybe they're seeing something I don't see, or maybe they saw him in high school and really think he's going to come off the bat and just be a guy who averages somewhere between 10 and 12 points every single night. But no, he's still a pup. So I was a bit puzzled and I was a bit weary. I kept bringing up Aaron Henry because Aaron Henry, based on what I saw last year when Joshua Langford got hurt, and seeing how Aaron became more aggressive, became more confident, I saw his game evolve with that mid-range jumper. He was not afraid to put the ball on the floor and go to the rack as well. Again, he's so athletic. I pegged him to be the guy to step up and shoulder the scoring load, shoulder the scoring absence that is Josh Langford. Because when Aaron is aggressive and when he is mentally in tune with the game, sky's the limit for Aaron Henry. And Tom Izzo even talked about it after the game. I mean, Alec Rio, you were there, and you heard Tom Izzo say that when it comes to Aaron Henry, he was asked about it. Tom Izzo was asked, what's your thoughts on Aaron Henry? You know, we saw that you benched him. You sat him down, had a talk with him. And what did Tom Izzo say? He stood there, he looked across the room, and he said, I don't know. When it comes to Aaron, I don't know. I don't know. And then proceeded to give us a Mark D'Antonio quote, next question. That was a direct quote. Next question. I don't even know what to say when it comes to Aaron Henry. Very puzzling. But you take two shots? 22 minutes, two shots. Aaron Henry finished with 2 points. Again, this was a 12-point win for Duke. If Aaron gives you double-digit points, you're right in this thing. That's the number one big takeaway for me. for why Michigan State lost this game. Number two, and this may, they both may be number one. I'll say 1A is Aaron Henry for me, because 1B is very, very close. They're both number one points here. But Vernon Carey, wow. I mean, Vernon Carey Jr., a recruit, actually, who was deciding between Duke and Michigan State. I believe there was one other school. Maybe it was like North Carolina. I could be wrong there. We have to double check that. But bottom line, Vernon Carey Jr., I believe he had Duke as his number one and then Michigan State number two. At one point, they were neck and neck. He chose to go to Duke and play for Coach K out of Florida. Vernon Carey, I knew that Izzo was going to give him some business. And there were times where the Izzo did give him some business, paying him back for not bringing his athletic talents to East Lansing, but it didn't bother him. Vernon Carey did whatever he wanted on Tuesday night at the Breslin. It was like, this is, yeah, I may not have gone here, but this is my home. I own the Breslin tonight. He did whatever he wanted. You know, it didn't matter who was guarding him. I thought at one point, you know, and Tom Izzo, he corrected me because I thought that it was just Xavier Tillman matched up against Vernon the whole game. And then I saw Marcus Bingham for a moment, but Tom Izzo corrected. Even the reporter said, hey, you went one-on-one with Vernon the entire game. And no, Tom Izzo said, no, actually it was a collective effort. We did bring multiple bodies to try and slow down Vernon. We just didn't see it. Maybe those extra bodies came late in the post. But Vernon Carey, it didn't matter. You could have had the whole team guarding him. He was overly athletic for whatever big was guarding him on Tuesday. And that's a problem. He went off. He was 8 of 16, 50% from the floor. He went to the free throw line. He was 9 of 12 from the free throw line as well. He had 26 points to lead Duke. 26. You couldn't stop him. That was a blown. Tom Izzo got out-coached there by Coach K. He did not come up with a defensive game plan to slow down Vernon Carey Jr. That hurt them. And then also, yo, shout out to Trey Jones, man. Trey Jones had a great game. He played 40 minutes. Do the math. He did not sit out 1 minute. He played, Trey Jones played the entire game. And he didn't look winded for one moment. Not for one moment. Now, you know, this was a battle. This was pubbed as a battle between Cassius Winston and Trey Jones. And when you look at, let's just compare the stat lines real quick. Trey Jones, 40 minutes, 6 of 13, 2 of 5 from deep, 20 points, 6 turnovers, 3 steals, 12 assists. He had a double-double, 20 points, 12 assists. Also throwing 2 rebounds there. That's a pretty solid overall game, even at one block. I mean, my goodness. 3 steals, 1 block. He did work not just offensively, but defensively as well. Cassius Winston, 4 of 14. 12 points, 2 turnovers. He did have 1 steal, 7 assists. But that's a subpar. That's a below average performance for Cassius Winston. Now, I know Cash is going through a lot. I, as I stated on Tuesday, I can only imagine what is going through his mind every time he goes out there and tries to play a game, because he lost his brother Zachary in a very tragic way earlier this season. That is something that I'm sure is weighing heavy on his mind, and heck, it is weighing on the minds of the entire team at that as well. But if Cassius isn't having a great game, and by the way, teams know now, based on the year that Cassius Winston had last season, which was a breakout year for Cassius, teams are keying in on Cassius Winston more. The scouting report is saying that, look, if you cut off the head, the body will die, and the head is Cassius Winston. So teams are going to come at Cassius. Who else is going to step up? And if Cassius does not get help, it is going to be a long season, Spartan fans. Rocket Watts, 1 for 7, 4 points. I already talked about Aaron Henry. He was 1 for 2 for 2 points. Marcus Bingham got a start. 4 of 6, not bad. 13 points, 3 blocks as well. Xavier Tillman, slow start and then slowly but surely got into a nice groove, 9 of 14, 20 points. But I'm still looking for, to go along with Winston and Tillman, you need a guard to score the basketball. And that guy, we all know it. That guy has to be Aaron Henry. Off the bench, nobody had double-digit scoring. Nobody. Malik Hall got close. He had 9 points. Gabe Brown right behind him with 8, but nobody scored in double digits off the bench for Michigan State. Duke had 2 guys come off the bench and score double digits. Delaurier and Baker. They were pretty solid and efficient. Delaurier was 5 for 5. He didn't miss a shot the whole game. Baker missed 1 shot. He was 5 of 6, 11 points. Michigan State has some things to figure out here. And again, I think we're going to look back and say, that's just Tom Izzo in November and December. They figured it out now. But I just wonder when the wake-up call, well, the wake-up call was Tuesday. When are you going to get out the bed now? The alarm went off on Tuesday. When do you get up? I don't know when that game is going to be. Again, Rutgers, and again, looking at the competition they have coming up, you start Big Ten play on Sunday. You got Rutgers this Sunday on the Big Ten Network. But Rutgers, you're supposed to beat Rutgers. Oakland, you beat Oakland on a regular basis. No offense to Greg Campy. At Northwestern, it's Northwestern. At, you know, well, versus Eastern Michigan, it's EMU. Then you play Western. Then you play Illinois. It won't come probably until January 5th when you take on that team down the road, Juwan Howard, and Michigan, as they come to town on January 5th to the Breslin Center. That will be probably your next big test. But Michigan State should go on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-game win streak here. Knock on wood. I don't want to jinx anybody here, but you know, Michigan State is far superior to Rutgers, Oakland, Northwestern, Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, and Illinois. This will be a good time. This is a good stretch of 6 games where you can experiment, figure out some things, and Aaron Henry can wake up a bit. But am I panicking? No. It's December 5th. It's Tom Izzo in December. This happens. It happens, man. It's just unfortunate because, gosh, Tom Izzo is 2-12 against Duke now. Like I was joking with Alec on Tuesday night, and I said that, look, Coach K, he has Tom Izzo's address. He knows his blood type. You know, he knows what he has for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He knows everything. He's got Tom Izzo's number and everything. So it's just unfortunate because you would like to see Tom Izzo just get another win over Duke, because that has been his kryptonite throughout his tenure here at Michigan State. All right, I want to hit our first break. Well, I'll read some of your comments at facebook.com/WKAR News. If you want to call in, 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Again, Alec Rio is behind the glass. I'll get the thoughts of Alec as well. That and more. You are listening to the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Also want to note how cool the Draymond Green jersey retirement ceremony was. You know, just awesome stuff. Draymond Green had one amazing career here at Michigan State. I know firsthand. I went to school with Draymond, actually. Actually, when I was in college, you know, I'm a part of, and shout out to my Alpha brothers out there. I wasn't on the air yesterday, but yesterday was the founding date of my fraternity that I pledged here at Michigan State University. Shout out to Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. It was our Founders Day yesterday. But when I was in college, I knew Draymond, and we actually graduated on the same day, walked across the stage. I'm not saying I'm best friends with the dude, but I know Draymond. He used to come to a few of our events when I was on campus as an alpha. But just really cool just to see how much he's matured and how his game just elevated once he got to the league. He used that chip on the shoulder, being a late second-round pick, and became instrumental to the dynasty that was, I can't say is anymore, right? That Warriors team is horrible now. But the dynasty that was the Golden State Warriors, Draymond Green was in town and got his jersey retired. I saw head coach Steve Kerr of the Warriors. He was in town in the stands for that. Klay Thompson was there. Zaza Pachulia. I saw Anthony Iani, who played, a dear friend of the show, Anthony Iani, who played with Draymond during his time here at Michigan State. He was in the house. I mean, so many people in the house to watch Draymond Green's number 23 go up to the rafters. Question, Alec. With Draymond Green's jersey being retired, you know who wears number 23 for the Spartans right now? That's Xavier Tillman, right?
Yeah, he actually mentioned that in his press conference before the game. He was saying, like in a joking kind of manner, he had mentioned how in the past he tried wearing number 32 and how, I forgot who had said that, but that person had told Draymond Green that, oh, just find your own number, or like make your own number, as like a nice way of saying, no, you can't have my number. Just go and make your own number, you know, like,
who told him that? Who had 32?
Oh, I couldn't tell. He brought up someone.
23 in the game of basketball is like the coveted number, because mm-hmm. Michael Jordan made that famous back in the 80s, right? And anytime, I don't care if you're at a high school game, or if you're at an elementary school game or some AAU tournament or college or pros, if you wear 23, you're expected to be like the best player on the team. There's just something that comes with number 23. So he initially chose 32, though. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he said that he originally wanted number 32, but he had asked that Spartan player in the past, you know, to wear it. And like I said, he said, oh, go make your own number. And so Draymond Green jokingly was to Xavier Tillman about that. He was like, you know, I'm going to have to go up to Xavier Tillman, you know, today or something and go tell him to go make his own number or go find his own number.
So X-Man will have to change his number after Tuesday. He's not going to be wearing 23 on Sunday, is he?
I don't know.
I mean,
that's a good question.
Now. You can't.
Yeah.
I don't think you can wear that. Okay. But anyway, it was a really cool ceremony. Mm-hmm. Draymond was there with his lovely fiance, his kids, and, you know, he got choked up a bit when he was on the mic. It was just really awesome to see him in the house, and we all just wish it was a better game, though. I'm sure Draymond was sitting there saying, whoa, this is how you guys honor me with this kind of performance? What's going on here? So, Alec, your thoughts on what you saw firsthand on Tuesday night and what were... You know, what do you think this team needs to do moving forward? Where is your panic meter right now?
I'm not really panicking. You summarized it really well. You know, MSU, you know, they always like to, you know, work out their tweaks, you know, within the first couple months. And usually they're ready to go by, you know, late January, early February. But as of right now, MSU is continuing to struggle against, you know, defending the three, as, you know, Duke scored 46.7% from three. They could not find anything in terms of solving Vernon Carey Jr. You know, as I noticed the whole game, Vernon Carey was getting those offensive rebounds, you know, towering over Xavier Tillman or Thomas Kithier to get those offensive rebounds and getting the second opportunity buckets, you know. And that's one thing that Tom Izzo is going to have to look at in the tape, because all of them were getting bullied in the paint by Vernon Carey. And then it doesn't help when Javon Delorier is going perfect, you know, receiving the slams from Trey Jones and Matthew and Hurt, you know, and, you know, Marcus Bingham and Aaron Henry, you know, they have to be more aggressive when it comes to, you know, maneuvering in the paint and getting some buckets, because, you know, you can't only get two shots and only get 2 points if you're Aaron Henry. Because, you know, as you mentioned, yeah, you know, he's the guy that we're looking to, you know, to get those kind of buckets. And, you know, every player besides Cassius Winston, you know, he's the only one that I've noticed that is throwing his body around trying to, you know, make those offensive plays, you know, that'll end up on the SportsCenter top 10.
Well, he's not, though. And that's the thing. He's not being aggressive. He's not. I don't know. It may be something mental. Maybe Aaron Henry is going through some things. Maybe he's sick. I don't know. But he is passing the ball away. If you give the ball to Aaron Henry, I don't know if you noticed this, but he just said, there you go, Xavier. I don't want it. It was like a hot potato. Like, he did not want the basketball. So, and then if you don't have Aaron in tune with the game, just talking about the guards. And if Rocket Watts, you know, Rocket Watts is an old school playground guy. He is a scorer. If he's not shooting well, though, and you have to bench him, then you go to Foster Lawyer. And then, I'm sorry, but Foster, look, I'm not going to bash Foster Lawyer. I'm not going to do that. Has he been a disappointment? Yes, he has certainly been a disappointment. What we saw on Tuesday, and when Michigan State plays these elite teams in this elite competition, and he goes against a premier guard when he has to due to whatever circumstances, whether that be foul trouble on Cassius Winston or other guards just aren't playing well and need to sit on the bench and reevaluate some things, need a talking to, and you throw in Foster Lawyer, he is tremendously overmatched. Physically and mentally, I think he may be pressing. He's just thinking way too much. A perfect example, now I know it wasn't a foul. I don't know what in the world that was, but when Trey Jones stole the basketball, goes coast to coast, Foster Lawyer falls down, a really odd play, and Trey Jones makes the layup and then like surfboards.
Looked like a Sparta kick almost.
Yeah, on the ground. I don't know how that was a foul on Foster, but you know that was just you heard on the broadcast too that they talk, you know, them talk about those early turnovers, how basically Duke was just shooting the gap off these handoffs, these dribble handoffs, and that's what Trey Jones did, and Foster Lawyer just did. He just looked out of place. He just looks bad when he's out there at times. And shout out to Trey Jones too, man. He is a really good defender. Trey Jones is so smart. You know, I think about that one series where Rocket Watts, he ripped Trey Jones, goes the other way. Rocket's not paying attention. Trey Jones comes from behind him, pokes the ball out, gets the ball off the steal, and then it's a fast break bucket for Duke. I mean, Trey got ripped by Rocket, and then Trey got him right back in the matter of like 3 seconds. Oh, boy. We did see some life. You know, Michigan State came out that second half. Alec went on that 9-1 run to start the second half. And, you know, a lot of that had to do with the interior defense of you know, Xavier Tillman. He did a great job defensively, but then, yeah.
And I hate to break it to you, but, like, I feel like a big part of that run was due to the fact that Vernon Carey was on the bench. Because he was on the he was on the bench at the beginning of the second half, and you could tell that his presence wasn't there on defense. I mean, Vernon Carey had 3 blocks also, you know, to add to his 26 points and 11 rebounds. You know, he was just completely dominating on all cylinders.
Yeah, he certainly was. And Mike comments on our Facebook page and says 32 was Greg Kelsey's number. I thought that was it. Yeah, you're right, Mike. Yeah, Special K probably came to Draymond and said, hey, man, you can't wear that number. That number's retired already. you got to wear 23. So, yeah, that's probably what you were referring to, Alec, there. Special K, one of the greatest Michigan State players of all time, the Robin to Magic Johnson's Batman. A few comments here also coming on our Facebook page in addition to Mike's. Let's see here. Ben, whose birthday was yesterday. Happy belated birthday, Ben. Ben says we beat ourselves on Tuesday night. After we scored the first basket of the game, it seemed like we quit. I don't know if they quit. I just think they were overmatched and outcoached. Time Izzo was outcoached by Mike Krzyzewski on Tuesday night, Ben. Also, let's see. Aaron comments and says, I don't know how they are getting back to the Final Four. So it seems like Aaron's panic meter is pretty high. Again, I still got to see more. It's so early on in the year. I don't know if I'm saying that Tom Izzo is not going to go to another Final Four. I want to see more of them. And also, James says, same old Tom Izzo. James is a notorious Tom Izzo hater. So I get it. I get it, James. You want to see Tom get that second ring, and he's had some great opportunities in recent history to do so, and he just hasn't. So, yeah, those are just a few of the comments rolling in at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Again, you can also let your voice be heard by calling in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break. When I come back, I'll briefly touch on the college football playoff, and we'll have Throwback Thursday for you to take you on home on this Thursday, December 5th.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We've got eight minutes left here in the hour. Time flies when you're having fun. Alec Rio behind the glass. We also have a job shadow today as well. I believe Elena is behind the glass as well. Thanks, Elena, for rocking out with us on this. Hopefully we haven't put you to sleep. We've been talking MSU men's basketball this entire hour, dude. Kind of exhausted now talking MSU basketball. I wanted to really have I'm going to save a longer segment for the college football playoff probably tomorrow, because I can't make the points I want to make with just, what, now 7 minutes left. Time is ticking. So I'm gonna save that for tomorrow. Also, tomorrow we will be giving away a pair of tickets to Sunday night's Michigan State men's basketball game against Rutgers. So I see some of you commenting on our Facebook page and wondering when the next ticket giveaway is going to take place. That will be tomorrow. All right, so a pair of tickets, Michigan State, Rutgers. We'll give those away tomorrow on the show, so tune in to find out how you can win those. And also, I'm pretty excited. You know, this had nothing to do with sports, but the newest trailer for the James Bond franchise came out yesterday, and I'm like a kid in a candy store right now. Alec, I don't know if you're a big Bond fan, but...
Never really was. Never was into it. Yeah.
Oh, man, shaking, not stirred. Bond, James Bond. I mean, I could go on and on with the catchphrases, but No Time to Die, the trailer came out yesterday, and I've watched it probably 15 times and counting. So shout out to Daniel Craig, as this will be his final Bond movie. I'm pretty excited about that, man. Pretty excited about that on this Thursday. Okay, so I'm tabling the college football playoff. I'm going to table also the news that Matthew Stafford still wants to play. I'll address both of those stories tomorrow. Also, in addition to the ticket giveaways, I'm kind of previewing tomorrow's show here. I'm going to have a special guest on tomorrow's show. There's going to be like a Feature Friday interview that has to deal with horse racing and the shocking death tolls that are rising year after year within the sport. We'll have a special guest that will join us live from Florida. All right, the Sunshine State. So you don't want to miss tomorrow's show for sure. But what I want to do right now, I don't know if we have the preview music ready. Alec, do you? Okay, we don't have the Throwback Thursday music ready, but I do want to go through a few events that occurred on this day in sports history. And actually, I'll start with this one on this Throwback Thursday, where we preview, where we take a look back, I should say, hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. On this day, can you believe on this day 4 years ago, the Michigan State football team beat Iowa to win the Big Ten championship game out in Indy? Oh, man. And I believe that game, that's the game that sent Michigan State to the... It wasn't the Rose Bowl, right, Alec? It was the college football play. I have to double check that. But
for which one again?
Michigan State beating Iowa on this day. What, 5 years ago now?
I believe it was the game before Alabama.
That was the Rose Bowl ticket, right? Yeah, that was the Rose Bowl ticket. Yeah. That was 2015. So on this day 4 years ago, December 5th, 2015, Big Ten championship game, Michigan State beat Iowa. L.J. Scott, again, reaching the ball across the goal line. Gus Johnson on the call, losing his mind. That's the game that sent Michigan State to the Rose Bowl. Let me double-check here. See, I should have double-checked this before I went popping off at the mouth. See what happens, Alec, when you – prepare, folks, prepare. I just can't remember. I think it was either the college football – oh, man, I can't remember. I believe it was a college football playoff.
Yeah, it was.
It was, right?
Yeah, that's it was before the college.
That's when they got beaten by Alex. So that's the game that sent them to the molly whopping that was Arlington, Texas, at the home of my Cowboys against Alabama. So
yeah, and
the Rose Bowl year, that was the year prior to.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I remember Aaron Burbridge went off that game against Iowa.
Right, exactly. Now, those are good times. The greatest quarterback in Michigan State football history, and Connor Cook. You know, he was rolling during that time, right? So, man, my memory's foggy now because that seems so long ago when Michigan State football was actually good. Ah, better times. All right, a few more moments here as we close out the hour. On this date, back in 1908, The University of Pittsburgh, numerals were first used on football uniforms worn by college football players. So on this day back in 1908, numbers were actually put on jerseys in college football. How about that? All right. On this day back in 1973, Ron Santo became the first major league player to veto his trade. On this date, back in 1978, Pete Rose signed with the Philadelphia Phillies. The contract was for 4 years, $3.2 million, making Rose the highest paid athlete in team sports. Yeah, how moolah has changed over time, right? On this day, back in 1983, the video arcade game NFL Football was unveiled in Chicago. It was the first video arcade game to be licensed by the National Football League. Also on this date, back in 1995, Dan Marino of the Miami Dolphins, he passed for 300 yards in a game for the 52nd time to set an NFL record. Such a shame that Marino never got a ring. And also in 2000, Karl Malone of the Utah Jazz, he moved past Wilt Chamberlain on this date into second place on the NBA's all-time scoring list. And we'll do one more here that I skipped. On this date back in 1982, Mel Gray ended an NFL streak of 121 consecutive games with receptions. So, a little throwback Thursday for you there. I'm sorry to bring up the... Well, no, I'm not sorry. Those were good memories, right? When Michigan State football was at the height of its powers under Mark D'Antonio. On this date back in 2014, Michigan State booked a ticket to the college football playoff with that Big Ten championship win over Iowa. Oh, boy. All right, folks, we'll see you on Friday. Be easy, people.